Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church on this rainy April morning, but it's still a beautiful day anyway, right? Amen. Please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. You can read that together. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So I titled this message, 40 Amazing Days. And I'm telling you, they were 40 amazing days. It's been 14 days since the resurrection of Jesus. And I was thinking about this, and as I'm preparing this message, and I'm saying, I wonder what Jesus was doing. I mean, there was a lot going on. He appeared, you know, recorded about 12 appearances, 13, but there were so many more that they didn't record, but a lot was going on. And of course, my mind is going on. I'm thinking, well, what's been going on at Firm Foundation Christian Church? Well, last Saturday, we had a wonderful evangelism conference, and it was awesome. It was a blast. I hope we have another one. And I thought of all the evangelism conferences that must have been giving over how many years? Thousands? Hundreds of thousands? But last week's was not the first. That honor must be given to the meeting Jesus held on Easter Sunday afternoon with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Luke tells us that, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That is in Luke 24:27. You might say that the first Bible conference lasted 40 days and had only one speaker, the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of listening to many people teach on many topics, the disciples listened to the Lord give his final instructions before ascending to heaven. By the way, Acts 1:3 is the only place that tells us that the period between the resurrection and the ascension was precisely 40 days. So it's interesting here when you're doing all this reading and you're saying, wow, you're saying 40. 40 is in every different areas of the Word of God. That, you know, the number 40 seems to have a special significance in Scripture. And just let's go over a few. There are many, too many to cover. We don't have enough time. The rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights before Noah's flood, Genesis 7:4. Moses spent 40 days in God's presence on Mount Sinai, Exodus 24:18. The 12 spies spent 40 days exploring the land of Canaan, Numbers 13:25. So 40 is associated with almost each new development in the history of God's mighty acts, especially of salvation, the flood, redemption from Egypt, Elijah in the prophetic era, the advent of Christ, and the birth of the church. You might say it this way. When you see the number 40, pay attention, because it usually means that God is about to do something significant in the world. Of course, I was thinking, if you're an athlete, maybe you want your jersey to say 40 on it. But I wanted to make one more point on that. This was very important, I thought. Christ was tempted for 40 days at the beginning of his ministry and appeared to the disciples for 40 days at the end of his ministry, which again, we're calling it, I call it the 40 amazing days. So, we come to the last days of Jesus Christ on earth. For 33 years, the Lord has made earth his home, and now the time draws near for him to leave. We're beyond the cross, past the suffering, the torture, the mocking, and even beyond the resurrection. Now we're in that remarkable 40-day period that we'd like to know more about on what the Lord is doing. So during this 40-day period, Jesus accomplished two important goals. He proved that he was alive, and he prepared them, the disciples, for the future. So this morning we're going to cover six ways Jesus led his disciples after the resurrection. And friends, they pertain to us also. So we're going to cover these six. Jesus' teaching and ministry began with a small group of unlearned, ordinary men, and then turned into a movement that rapidly spread and is still spreading across the world today. After rising from the dead, Jesus hands over the ministry to the disciples he had invested so much into. So let's look at number one, the first way Jesus led his disciples after the resurrection. We're going to cover six. They'll go quickly. Be patient. I mean, I did talk to Pastor James. I mean, we could do 40 hours of teaching. Put your seatbelts on. We could do 40 days. 40 days. Remember 40 days, 40 hours. Whatever you want. But I think we all settled for about 20 plus minutes. Yeah? Okay. All right. So number one, Jesus seeks out. He's seeking out the lost here. So, and who does he begin with? Doubting Thomas. Now, when you're doing these messages, when I'm doing my messages, I mean, I just praise the Lord for my wife. I mean, really, you know, she sits and she'll listen to me. I got to go over this one. Can you listen to this? Oh, okay, yeah. Can you listen to this? Can you go over that? I mean, this just happens all day long, all week long. And so, and she goes, don't you remember doubting Thomas when you grew up? Don't be a doubting Thomas. I said, no, Ali remembers. Don't be a doubting Eric. So here, Thomas insisted the testimony of the other disciples, it wasn't enough for him to believe that Jesus was alive. He needed to see the mark of the nails. Jesus met Thomas where he was and showed Thomas his hands and side. So let us read John 20, 27. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Imagine that. He finally realized, this is my Savior. This is my Jesus. Friends, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Praise the Lord. Jesus foresaw the time when such tangible evidence as Thomas received would not be available. When Jesus ascended to the Father, all those who believe would do so without the benefit of seeing. Of seeing the resurrected Lord. Jesus pronounced a special blessing on those who believe without having Thomas's privilege. 1 Peter 1, 8, 9. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, Jesus still in his grace meets us where we are. Jesus wants that connection with you, and he wants you to have that connection with others. Seek out people. This is the example Jesus is showing here. When you're evangelizing, meet people where they're at. Show grace when they have doubts. Be ready to share your testimony. Let us read 1 Peter 3:15. This is critical. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So engage with others. Ask questions. Friends, this is about the salvation of souls. Remember, you are a fisher of men. Always be prepared to explain the difference that Jesus has made in your life. Number two, Jesus involved them. He involved the disciples, and he wants you to be involved. One day, Jesus appeared to his disciples while they were fishing, and he involved them in another miracle. John 21, 5. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. So here, the disciples have returned to their profession of fishing. I'm sure they're waiting for Jesus, and here Jesus appears to them in Galilee. He appears to his disciples, but he appears there with a compassionate care for them. Christ gave them orders, and there was a promise behind those orders. Their obedience of these orders resulted in a great success of it. They took Jesus' counsel. They were obedient to their master. They had a catch that paid them well for all their pains. They had been fishing all night, no luck. Jesus foresaw. Cast the net on the right, right? They didn't know this, right? He figures this all out. He goes before us. He sees, he knows what you need. And he gives you bountifully. Friends, there is nothing lost by observing Christ's orders and commands and obeying them. He says, remain in me and I remain in you. Those that are humble, diligent, patient, obedient to Christ, your labors will be blessed, my friends. It says it in the Word of God, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you did not know. They didn't know. And look at what he did. Friends, that is a positive assurance from God that if we call on him, he will answer in ways that will totally astound you. Number three, Jesus served. John 21:9. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus had breakfast ready for them. Jesus did not demand that they serve him. Here is Jesus, the Lord of lords, King of kings, the Savior that conquered the grave. He's making breakfast for his disciples. He not only helped them and directed them to catch fish, right? I mean, he's preparing the fire. He's making them the breakfast. He's serving. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. This is a clear example of Jesus' love and good actions and deeds to his disciples. Friends, we are to mimic these actions to others in our daily life. Kindness, goodness, care, compassion, love, being a good listener, being patient. His invitation is to all. Think about this. Are you prepared and ready to come and eat with the Lord? Number four, Jesus restored. Who does he restore? He restores Peter. He goes after Peter. After feeding his disciples, Jesus pursues Peter to restore him. And think about this now. Peter, after Peter's threefold denial of Jesus, Jesus sees Peter's need. He needs a special attention. Jesus did not ostracize him, nor abandon him. He's understanding of his grief. Jesus pursues him with a question. John 21:15, do you love me? Jesus wanted Peter to love him so supremely as to forsake all that he was familiar with and be exclusively devoted to being a fisher of men. Ask yourself, are you devoted to the Lord fully? Do you love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind? The Lord Jesus shows us that love is a personal choice and a gift freely given. It is the giving of oneself to another for their sake. Unselfish love is focused wholly to the good of the other person for their own welfare and benefit. We are to serve others, my friends, care for others, minister to others, do good to others. It is following in Jesus' steps as our Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to be served, but to serve. Are you serving people? Are you putting them ahead of yourself? We ought to go and do likewise. Follow the example of Christ. That's what he's showing the disciples, and that is what pertains to us also. Jesus came to release you, set you free from the bondage of sin, to restore you, point others to Christ. Christ is the only way your soul can be restored, friends. Share that with others. Jesus will not allow suffering to be the last word in your life. No. Number five, Jesus challenged Peter. As Peter declared his devotion and love for Jesus, Jesus challenged him to feed my sheep. John 21:17. Teaching people the word, getting the word out. Jesus challenged Peter to commit his life to teaching and shepherding people. That Peter's primary concern is his continued devotion to the Lord and his service. His all-consuming passion, and nothing must detract from it. And Jesus challenges us to use this one life he has given us for his glory and the advance of his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes. You got one life, one chance. Well, that's it. He's given you this life. Make the best of it for the Lord. Again, remember, Jesus held closely to his heart the teaching of the kingdom of God. Peter wrote that such suffering and death for the Lord brings praise to God. Friends, Peter suffered martyrdom under Nero. Peter's devotion would entail his own death. Friends, this is true. Whenever any Christian follows Christ, he must be prepared to suffer and die. Are you willing to die for the word of God, for Christ? Our last point here, how Jesus led and taught. Jesus empowered his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28:18-20. Let's read that together. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Amen. Jesus reminded the disciples, right? He reminds them that he had the authority to do so. Jesus shared responsibility for the mission with his disciples. Jesus empowered them to teach people to observe everything. He commanded, recognize that Jesus calls his disciples to go to people of all nations and teach them how to know him and how to live for him. Friends, the commission Jesus gave his disciples, it's our commission too. This is Jesus' final commission to his disciples, and it reflects his global perspective, teaching kingdom life and principles. Kingdom life appears over 50 times in the book of Matthew. Jesus leads his followers to think, live, and pray that his kingdom come to our entire planet. But now, the disciples must wait, and they must be patient for the promise of the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to carry out the task that is before them. They are not to begin their mission until they receive the promise, which they will receive 10 days after Jesus' ascension to heaven, called the Day of Pentecost. So my friends, in conclusion, The disciples had to wait 10 days for the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. But I want us to listen here. Unlike the disciples, we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion, when we move from a worldly kingdom to a godly kingdom. It says in Ephesians 1, verse 13, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until possession to the praise of his glory." So friends, like the disciples, we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must remember these six areas that Jesus led them and he taught them to us. Right? We must remember these. It's critical. So just let us review quickly. Jesus seeks out. We ought to seek out the lost. Number two, Jesus involves. Pray for a divine appointment. Jesus served. We should be serving with care and compassion. Four, Jesus restored. Restore the lost through the word of God. Five, Jesus challenged. We are challenged to commit our treasures, our talent, and our time to Christ. Number six, Jesus empowered. We are blessed to have this empowerment to present the gospel because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So now we come to Jesus' final day on earth before he ascends to heaven. Let us look at Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. This is critical. "Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will soon come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" So, here, before Jesus left his disciples, he promised them that he would return. Here at the ascension of Jesus, the promise is reiterated. So in essence, the angels say to the disciples, "Don't stand here looking up at the sky. Jesus is going to return. But now you go and do what he told you to do." Brothers and sisters, Jesus has given each of us an assignment, and blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be faithful and responsible in our service to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you, Lord. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. We thank you that after the resurrection, you spent 40 amazing days on this earth to be with the disciples and teach them and lead them in so many areas that we need to do also. We are to obey this great commission, this command to go and make disciples of all nations. And we thank you for blessing us with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. The empowerment to go and do this. May we be committed, devoted, wherever we're at. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, wherever we're at. On our job, in our home, with our neighbors, wherever we go, traveling. I can think of people that I met on vacation years ago that we had a little Bible study in the place where we stayed. It was wonderful. And that gentleman was such an evangelist, reaching to people around us. And that is such an example. You are the number one example, Lord, how we ought to mimic all your ways. So we thank you, Lord,
that those 40 amazing days were, you poured into these disciples, these men, and how after they received the Spirit, they went out. The church started. They wrote the New Testaments were written. And look at today. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord. May we be part of this. May we always think of that. Think of you again to bring forth the gospel message to those who are lost in this world that need to hear the good news. We thank you that you are our God, our King. We just love you, Lord, for all you have done for us. We thank you for this time now, and we lift it up to you in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
There will be an interlude hymn, followed by a communion devotional given to us by our brother Joel.